This is a Squiz podcast. We're your shortcut to being informed. This week, our podcast is brought to you by BHP. Reducing greenhouse gas emissions in the production of copper is critical. That's why BHP has committed to solar, wind, and battery agreements to help power their copper mine at Olympic Dam in South Australia. It's happening now at BHP. Visit bhp.com/critical to find out more. Weekly Wrap is the week in news and what's coming up. I'm Kate Watson.
And I'm Claire Kimball.
First up, if you're listening to this episode on the Squiz Today feed, hi, but we aren't usually here, Claire.
No, we're really not. The Weekly Wrap lives on the News Club feed. So if you like what you're about to hear, pop open your podcast app, get News Club up and hit follow.
Type in News Club, hit follow. We're just putting Weekly Wrap in here this week to remind you to head on over to News Club. The news, Claire, biggest story this week is the royal drama we can't escape, but actually, Squizzes were just as interested in UFOs.
Yeah, the most clicked link this week was UFOs. We also talked nuclear and a nod to a tough time in Ballarat this week.
Recommendations are, I think it's fair to say, varied.
That's a good assessment, yep.
Most clicked link in the Squiz Today newsletter, as I said, Claire, UFOs, unidentified flying objects, but this one wasn't flying.
No, and look, it does point to the fact that Squizzes seem to love a conspiracy. There's a few of those sort of floating around this week, like the UFOs. I remember this story. It's from back from 2020. There was a series of these silver monoliths. They're quite big, like they're sort of 10 metres tall, appearing around the world. Back then it included the Utah desert.
I think I remember this
the
too.
The Isle of Wight. Okay. I think it was in Portugal as well.
So there's another one that's appeared. It's on top of a hill called Haybluff in Wales. There's one thing to know about that. You can't drive up there, so it must be aliens.
Must be aliens, sure. Or it could be a helicopter. Or it could be the people walked it up there. But, yep, let's go with the aliens.
Claire is not into conspiracy theories and is highly sceptical of this one. But people really enjoyed it. A link, as always, is in your episode notes if you do want to have a read and make your own mind up about whether you think it's, you know,
sure.
beyond Earth.
We'll aliens see. Or something explainable. Yeah.
Anyway, that was our most clicked link. As for the most covered story of the week across the news coverage, it's that rather epic photo editing fail by the Royals.
Haven't the Royals had a shocker in 2024? It just really isn't their year. Yeah. I know Queen Elizabeth talked about 1992 being the anus horribilis, but 2024 has really crammed in a lot of very difficult issues and news for the Royals into just a few short weeks. Of course, what we're talking about is the latest in the saga, that is, where is Kate?
Yeah, we haven't seen her publicly since before Christmas. There's been a couple of photos, but this was an official photo.
A
couple of sightings, that's probably a better way
like
to put it.
Like she's a wild animal, a couple of sightings.
And there has been a lot of pressure building on Kate and William about where she is she okay, the state of her health. It's turned now from is she okay to what is going on?
Yeah, what on earth is going on? And that's because of the really huge own goal that Kensington Palace has kicked right into the back of the net this week. What happened on Monday night, Kate, I think you were one of, no joke, about eight people that texted me or messaged me in about a 15-minute period saying, here she is. The Palace posted a picture to social media of Kate and the kids.
And that was all fine. Cut to a couple of hours later or even, you know, I feel like it was probably like 12 hours later that the public and the media started to get a bit suspicious of that photo. Is it real? Why isn't her ring on? Like all of that speculation. Something's wrong with Charlotte's sleeve, all sorts of things. Then there was a kill notice issued. I'd never come across a kill notice before, but you have.
Yeah, I really have become a bit familiar with a kill notice, and that's because sadly in my press secretary days I issued some information that was wildly incorrect.
I have to know what it was.
I'm not even going there. It's still too traumatic.
You can't leave us hanging like that.
Anyway, a kill notice had to be issued. That scar still runs very, very deep for me.
My commitment to our audience is to find out what this was and one day reveal all.
Yeah, not going there.
Oh, wow. This is okay. This has turned into a story.
It wasn't
about,
good.
Okay, conspiracies. You eat your heart out. This is where they all come in. Oh, back to Kate. I mean, it isn't actually funny because, I mean, it's one of those ones that you can kind of jump on social media and jump on the news sites and people are having a bit of fun with it. But there is real concern for whether she is okay. This kill notice that was issued is issued by the photography agencies that supply images to news outlets. They say it's just not real enough.
It's not real enough. It's been manipulated. Therefore, it needs to be pulled back so it's not republished again.
Lots asking why they can't now release the unedited image. That's a question, still an open question.
Oh, man.
Yeah. The quote from the BBC kind of sums this all up. The photo, designed to cool the conversation around the Princess of Wales's recovery, has instead heated all rumours up again. There are a lot of angles to this. Starting from, you were quite interested in how the royals communicate the problem.
All that process.
And that process, what would be going on in the palace and how they would be dealing with this and the crisis comms around it, I guess, now.
Yep.
Right through to how do we know if things are real or not when we see them? I certainly saw that image and went, well, that's legit.
Yeah, it looks like a nice photo.
Had no idea. Yeah. So lots of questions. We think it might be our news club topic next week.
Yeah, it's an interesting one because there are so many angles to it. But look, if that's something that resonates with you, just DM us on Instagram or shoot us an email. If you're listening on Spotify, just scroll down to the Q&A question. Interested to know what you think about this one.
We're interested to know whether you want us to news club it, actually.
Yeah, true.
So if you do want it to be our news club topic and you're listening on Spotify, we've got a poll running. So let us know, yes or no. Claire, we've been talking all week on News Club about Meta and the possibility of them completely removing news from your Instagram feed and Facebook feed, not yours, Claire's, yours being everyone's. For more on all of that, listen to News Club and also to the interview I did with Tim Duggan. That was out yesterday.
Yeah, so he's the co-founder of Junkee Media. He's also the chair of the Digital Publishers Alliance, which is a collection of publishers like The Squiz. He's also got really deep experience as a publisher. He rode that social media wave and really built Junkee Media off the back of all of those eyeballs that were on platforms like Facebook. He's very thoughtful about the issue. It was a great conversation, I thought, Kate.
Yeah, so there's that. Meanwhile, in the US this week, to another social media massive, massive behemoth, the House of Reps passed a bill with a huge majority that means that ByteDance, which is the company that owns TikTok, has two options: sell TikTok or be completely banned in the States.
Yeah, and it's a bit scary to point out, Kate. You and I did a shortcut on this back in 2020.
It's been around, this issue has been around for a really long time.
Yeah, the issue about TikTok, the fact that it is Chinese owned, the fact that it collects a lot of data. The collecting of a lot of data isn't necessarily the big issue. It's how that data could be used.
Yeah, many apps collect your data, your name, your age, your phone, your social media contacts, your location, as well as the content that you post. But the concerns are less about the kind of data being collected by TikTok and more about who is then able to access it and what they can do with it.
And to a certain degree, you know, just looking at Australia, we've already voted with our smartphones. There's 8.5 million Australians who have TikTok on their smartphone. So there's got to be, I guess, a degree of comfort that they understand exactly what that is. But of course, when it comes to accessibility, we're talking about, given the structures in China and companies in China and the relationship with the government, whether the government could actually access, the Chinese government could access that data of so many users around the world.
ByteDance has said that TikTok is unavailable in China and its data is stored outside of the country. But its privacy policy reserves the company's right to share any information with Chinese authorities if it's requested in a certain way. We know the legal system in China is quite different to the West, so there's a lot of grey areas there. The concern expressed by many, including, as I said, that majority in US Congress, is that in the hands of the Chinese, that data could be weaponized, potentially against the West.
Yep, so here we are. And look, it still has to get through the US Senate, but there are plenty of US lawmakers from across the political spectrum. As you said, that legislation through the House of Reps got up by a very wide margin. So there's cross-party support. And the question is whether TikTok will have to sell or whether they will be banned for use by people in America.
There was a couple of angles to that. The first is, if they are banned, it won't be like they're just gone from people's phones. It will be that you won't be able to download TikTok anymore from apps. And I guess if people aren't continuing to use it, it will start to sort of phase out.
Mm.
I was also reading a piece in the New York Times which posed the question, how hard or easy would it be for ByteDance to divest its shares, to sell its shares? Not that easy. And they've only got, what, 100 and something days.
Yeah, exactly. These things aren't that easy. And look, when you look at America, there's 170 million users. So you'd think that it's a pretty high price tag, like, as a business.
You'd want to get a bit of money for that.
Yeah, exactly right. A few companies or individuals, you know, very few could afford that. Mm. So it could be looking at other issues around whether other big tech looks at it as a proposition, Microsoft, Google, Meta, all wanting a piece of it, of course.
But then the conversation will quickly move from, well, that's fine, but there's issues around competition. Then.
Yeah.
So it's a bit of a pickle.
It is. As for a timeline about all of this, I mentioned it still has to get through the Senate. President Joe Biden last week said that if it does pass the full Congress, he will sign it. He'll sign it into law. So let's see where that goes. If it gets through the way it's currently structured, TikTok, as you say, need to be sold in 6 months to a buyer that satisfies the US government.
To this competition point.
Issue. Yeah. That sale would have to guarantee that ByteDance no longer has any control over TikTok, its algorithms, so that it can't recommend content to users.
Tech giants and their apps. Hey?
Yeah, that's so
true. Can we go and live in a cave yet? It would just be so much easier. Moving on to that little issue of nuclear energy, that was a big story this week. The Coalition had a fair bit to say about that.
Yeah, and look, this has been bubbling away for a while. It's probably the biggest policy that the Coalition has in development, that it's actually put out there, that it's really committed to moving towards this. And look, we're at the pointy end of this term of government. There's about a year-ish before we head to a next election, so we're really getting down to tin tacks now about what policy platforms the big parties are putting forward. Essentially, what the Coalition is saying is that Australia could develop a nuclear power industry within a decade. And it says that that's needed because coal-fired electricity generators are out of favour commercially. They're old and they're expensive to keep running. And also they're out of favour environmentally because we need to bring down our emissions to reach our targets.
So we don't know exactly what the policy is yet, but we know they're gearing up to make some announcement around how they would actually do this. They also need to get elected. That's a whole thing. The government, for its part, not into nuclear energy at all. They say that it couldn't be built within a decade. It's all rubbish. Chris Bowen invoked the castle this week. He said, tell him he's dreaming. The Coalition, though, they're not backing away.
Absolutely not. They're suggesting that nuclear plants could actually be built at former coal-powered electricity generation sites. As for the fine details, as you say, the Coalition still needs to stump up the costs, the timeframes, how local opposition would be handled. Of course, a lot of communities would have questions about a nuclear reactor basically being built in their backyards. Also questions about how would it plug into the electricity grid? How much power would it actually create and how that works in with renewable energy and the whole electricity mix?
So Saturday night for you, again, researching the grid, because I think you did that like a month or so ago for us. Could you do that again, but with
sure.
a nuclear eye on it?
Yeah, maybe please. With a nice glass of Savvy B, I'll get
there
into
you go.
It.
Thank you. Claire, let's give Ballarat a shout out.
Oh, yeah. So poor Ballarat. It's been in the spotlight, of course, because of the disappearance of Samantha Murphy. It was this time last week that we were talking about the arrest of a man for her murder. And sadly, they still haven't found her body. And this week, there's been a mine collapse and that saw one man killed.
One seriously injured as well. This was at Woolshed Gully Drive mine site at Mount Clear. 28 people were recovered safely. As I said, one was injured, along with the 37-year-old man who died. You pointed out, Claire, that Mount Clear, the area around Mount Clear, was one that was mentioned a lot as an area that was central to the search for Samantha Murphy.
Yeah, that's right. So for the emergency services, for the CFA members, for police, who who were all involved in that area, in that incident this week. Many of them would also have been involved in that search for Samantha Murphy.
Yeah, we're country girls, Claire. We get how tragic events really impact local communities like Ballarat. So a shout out to you if you're in that part of the world. Coming up this week, two by-elections in Queensland. One of them is in Inala, which is former Premier Anastasia Palaszczuk's electorate.
Haven't thought about Anastasia Palaszczuk for a month or so, so it's nice to catch up with what she's up to.
What's she been up to?
Well, when you leave a big job like that and just sort of want to skulk into the shadows, there was a report in The Australian this week to say that she's been skiing in Canada and then she's had to have a stint recovering from an Achilles injury.
Is that related to the skiing or was that just, you know, part of the bruise that is leaving politics?
Yeah, exactly right. Quite possibly a combination of both, I'd reckon.
There's so many. I feel like there's if I was a funny comedic person, there's got to be Achilles heel jokes.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, yeah, but smarter people than us would put that together.
Not us. I feel like Sammy J would nail this.
Yeah, so true.
Anyone who knows, we love Sammy J and he is a friend of ours and a very funny guy. And if he has an idea for a joke, could he please tell us what it is? Because he does listen to this podcast. No one's expecting Labor to lose that seat of Inala, but there is another by-election, as I said, Ipswich West. The Labor member there quit because he wanted to contest the local government elections, which are also being held today in Queensland. Pundits say the LNP, the Liberal National Party, could get its nose in front there.
Yeah, exactly right. So we'll see how that all pans out today. The LNP has been telling voters in that area to send Labor a message. Of course, there's been a lot going on with Palaszczuk stepping down. They're heading towards an election. And as these by-elections are, as they are close to an election, it's really a political exercise.
I think I predicted a change of government in Queensland as one of my 2024 predictions.
Oh, okay. But I'm putting that on the radar.
I don't have skin in the game. I just thought it might be a good thing to predict. It's a 50-50 chance. It's good odds. We also have Parliament sitting this week, federal Parliament sitting. The RBA rates meeting is on Monday and Tuesday, Claire.
We've confirmed that. Got it.
Rates decision to come next week, that means. There's also an important visitor.
Yeah, so China's top diplomat, that's their foreign minister, Wang Yi. He's going to visit Australia next week. The last time a Chinese foreign minister visited Australia was 2017.
That's like 7 years ago.
A long time ago.
A long, long time ago. This is all part of the big thaw they're talking about after the big chill that saw many Aussie exporters frozen out of China. That visit's happening on Wednesday. Still on elections, Tasmania goes to the polls next Saturday, Claire, but worth foreshadowing because the big issue there is this stadium, this AFL stadium. They've got a new team. The launch is on Monday. Rebecca White is the opposition leader. She's running to be elected. She's going to that launch. Jeremy Rockcliffe, who is the current premier and he is hoping to be re-elected next weekend, is not going to that launch.
Yeah, so there's a little bit to unpack in that and how the launch of an AFL team is so intrinsically linked to a state election. This is an unexpected election and it came about because the Liberal government there, the Rockcliffe government, it couldn't govern confidently because two of its members became independents and they went to the crossbench because they fractured with Jeremy Rockcliffe over the government's commitment to build that AFL stadium.
So it's been a big part of Tassie politics for a long time. It's all about whether spending money on an AFL stadium is a good use of taxpayer funds. And I'm sure people listening in Tasmania will have varying views on this issue. It'll shake out across the next week. And of course, we'll probably talk about it in next week's Weekly Wrap, Claire.
Love a state election. So, yep, next week we'll be talking about it.
Oh, it's a commitment. Before we get into what might be in the news next week, a message from our podcast advertiser, BHP. This week, they're keen to share with Squizzes how the resources they mine are key to the energy transition to renewable energy.
Yeah, we often hear about the push towards renewable energy, but what doesn't get as much attention is the role resources play in making that transition possible. Take steel, for instance. It's a key material used in the construction of renewable energy infrastructure, as well as in bridges, transportation, hospitals, and schools. And a big part of it comes from iron ore.
BHP says the importance of responsibly produced Australian iron ore is clear.
And by that, they mean reducing the greenhouse gas emissions associated with iron ore production. It's why BHP has committed to a solar and battery agreement to help power their port facilities at Port Hedland.
It's happening now at BHP, and if you want to learn more, visit bhp.com/critical. You'll find that link in your episode notes. Squiz recommends this week. You can go first.
Oh, God. You can tell Kate's so enthusiastic about my recommendation. You can go first. Okay.
I'm really interested to hear.
I reckon we all need a shot of wholesome. There's a lot of really bad news around. We've been talking about some really hard stuff for a while. And I'm all in on what's called the Bald Eagle Cam. It's a live cam. It's another US Wildlife Service initiative. Of course, everyone knows my love of Fat Bear Week, which is a US Wildlife Service initiative. They've done an amazing job in taking their national symbol, the bald eagle, off the endangered list. And right now, there's a pair of eagles. They've made a nest. She's laid 3 eggs. She's sitting on those eggs. He's sitting on those eggs. They're set to hatch in early April. You can watch them grow right from now through to when they hatch.
How long has it been going for?
Years.
What, the hatching of these eggs?
No, like for days.
Yeah, okay.
But this cam has been set up for like 12 years or so, and every season everyone gets really excited about this cycle happening again.
Okay, so how do you know? I mean, I'm trying to meet you in the middle.
You are here. Not trying to
I
meet
am.
Me in the
I
middle.
I think this is great. And I mean, I think this is – our attention spans are really poor. We were talking about this. So yep. It's nice that there's something you can watch very slowly for like 3 weeks.
If you
weeks.
Wanted to. And look, yes. Just to be clear, I'm not sitting watching it for 3 weeks. When I get a coffee, I just log on and have a quick look, see what's happening.
When will the big moment happen? Do you have any indication or could it be
– early April.
Okay.
Yeah. So
in the early parts of April, you might be watching a little bit more
there's
regularly.
There's projected dates because, of course, there's a hatching time and because they've had a cam on them for ages, they know when they actually laid the eggs. So there will be a zone in a couple of weeks or so. Fingers crossed they all hatch because there's nothing worse than I did this a bit last year. You watch it and one of them dies.
Oh, no.
Or they get squashed or something like that.
Did that happen?
Oh, yeah, that happens. It's the wild. You can't have a happy story necessarily. But it's just a really lovely thing to see all of this unfold.
Okay. You convinced me. I'm compelled to watch this now.
There you
I'm
go.
Going to click on that link. That link is in your episode notes. My recommendation is really serious. I don't know if I should do it now, but I will because this is a news podcast and this is what we do. I've come across a news outlet called The Free Press. They have a podcast series at the moment, which is The Free Press in Israel. Only part one has dropped. The reason I appreciated it, I was going to say enjoyed it, but that's probably the wrong word, appreciated it, is because I have found it hard to get good coverage on the mood in Israel, and you can't really sum up a whole population in one mood. But this podcast has a go at doing that, so I really do recommend it.
Okay, I'm putting that on my list to have a listen.
Look at us convincing each other. That's what they're for. Squiz Press, you're going to hear a lot from us over the coming weeks encouraging you to share the Squiz. If you're a podcast listener, a newsletter subscriber, a bit of both, we just really need you to start spreading the word.
The Meta issue is real. Dive into News Club and have a listen about why. But look, we haven't really done a great job, I think, over the years in encouraging you to tell your people about us, to do a bit more with us off your own bat, to go to our social media channels and get engaged with us there. So we're going to be a bit more structured and a bit more vocal about that.
But in particular, share the newsletter, share the podcast.
Exactly.
Please. That's Squiz Press for this week. That's the weekly wrap for this week. We'll be back with News Club on Tuesday, likely the Kate Middleton saga, if you say so, unless the news happens, as we say, Claire.
Exactly. The news always happens.
Kate Watson, co-host of News Club and The Weekly Wrap, jumping in here to say thank you for listening to our podcasts first and foremost. And if you like them, we'd really appreciate it if you could share them. Tell your mates about us. Tell your family. Tell your barista. Tell your hairdresser. Whoever you think might be interested in the news that we cover. You telling people about us is still the number one way we grow. Thanks in advance.